This is the Up North Lowdown, 9 minutes of Northern Michigan every weekday. Thanks for joining us. I'm Ed Ronco. Today, a look at what's in illegal drugs. Because when someone buys an illegal drug, there is a difference, often, between what they're told they are buying and what it actually is. Narcotics sold on the illegal market are often mixed with other substances that pose an even greater risk for drug users. And there's a lab in Traverse City that works to sort it all out in the hopes of reducing harm. Reporter Maxwell Howard spoke with some of the people who run those labs and know exactly what's in Michigan's drug supply. And he spoke with a drug user who doesn't.
Rashad asked that we only use his first name since we're about to discuss his use of illegal drugs. He's been in and out of addiction for some time now, and he says he originally came to Traverse City before COVID because he heard there was a good sober community in town. Back then, he was getting sober from crack cocaine.
I was on a 7-year bender. I had a daughter. I wasn't taking good care of her. I wasn't making good life choices. I couldn't stay clean more than 2-3 days. And I came here to Munson, drug and alcohol, adult wing, to get sober.
We're talking in the basement of the day shelter, Jubilee House. Floorboards creak over our heads as 30 or so of the shelter's guests move towards the kitchen for lunch. Washers and dryers spin in the next room, as Rashad tells me he doesn't test his drugs regularly. But when he's sharing drugs, he does. While we talk, Rashad pulls a test strip from his pocket. When he's sharing drugs, he'll put a small grain of it in the water. He'll then dip the test strip in that water. 2 lines on the strip means it's negative, and 1 line means xylazine is present. It's an animal tranquilizer that sometimes is mixed into opioids sold illegally.
I don't want, on my conscience, someone not knowing what they're getting. I want to know what's in my product. I want to know exactly what I'm getting into. Because no one's half the battle.
And Rashad knows the drugs he's taking are cocktails, mixed with other drugs and diluted with minor adulterants.
It's almost as if you cannot get the drug itself in its pure form anymore.
What kind of drug are you talking about specifically?
Xylazine, fentanyl.
Fentanyl is a powerful synthetic opioid, which has largely replaced heroin. For a lot of people in Rashad's situation, it's taken for granted that the drugs they're using are mixed with something. Pamela Lynch works to find out exactly what they're mixed with. She's part of Harm Reduction Michigan, which works to prevent overdoses and prevent disease. Part of that work is to test illegal drugs while they're still on the streets. One of their labs is in Traverse City, although you'd have no idea it's there. There's no sign on the street or on the door, so people coming here typically hear about the lab through word of mouth.
You can see there's a tiny little circle.
Lynch points to a white powder the size of about a half a grain of rice.
So that's the size of a sample we need. We don't need any more than that.
We're just past the lobby in a room partitioned off by a curtain of beads where she's showing me the lab's drug testing equipment, an FTIR machine, something that looks like a microscope fused with a printer. Miles Davis plays as a lab tech identifies the powder as a grain of crystal meth.
Wow.
So we put the sample on there, on the diamond. Spin this over. Screw it down. This, you know, it presses it against the diamond. And then it's going to run infrared light through that sample, which I'm not, that's not me. I'm not that person. I can't explain that to you. Nam could.
In just a few minutes, sample results show up on the connected laptop. Typical adulterants can range from caffeine, acetaminophen, lidocaine, antidepressants, sugars, but sometimes they can surprise the lab.
Yeah, we even had a sample recently with flower dye. Like the dye that you like turn, if you're turning carnations bright blue or whatever, the flower dye actually ends up making like little spots on their skin. And we have a person who has those who brought in their sample to be tested because of the flower dye being one of the cuts in the fentanyl over there.
Aside from minor adulterants, the lab can find harder drugs mixed in with the drug cocktails. And when you look at it, it can give you a recent history of drug trends in Michigan. The main drug of choice in northern Michigan is methamphetamine. In Grayling, about 60% of the drugs tested at the Michigan State Police Crime Lab is meth, with opioids and cocaine being just 10 to 15%. This sample of meth is relatively pure, which tracks. It turns out that meth is typically more pure in Michigan, says Elaine Doherty, the lab manager at the Bridgeport State Police Lab. She says meth comes from cartels in Mexico now, not in home-based labs that are dangerous and can make the drug impure. Cocaine is also popular right now, and Doherty says that's become more pure too, although she's not sure why. Right now, Doherty says, opioids are the most impure drugs on the market, with about 20 to 25% of the synthetic opioid fentanyl containing another drug called xylazine, one of the things Rashad tests for when he shares drugs.
We were rarely seeing large amounts of xylazine in a sample. I know on the East Coast, they were seeing samples with, you know, five times as much xylazine as fentanyl and those kinds of samples.
The dosage of xylazine found in fentanyl samples peaked a few years ago, but has been gradually decreasing. Still, xylazine can cause deep skin wounds, the surrounding tissues dying as the drug decreases blood flow and causes local toxicity. But while the drug is less common and less potent here than in coastal cities, wounds are found less often, it can still show up in Traverse City. People using the drugs often don't know what's actually in them.
To add something to that, the dealers don't know either. Like, the dealers don't know when their stuff has xylazine in it. The dealers don't know when they have some other, possibly, like, carfentanil or something. Like, the dealers don't know that that's in there either.
Whether knowing what's in the drugs would make a difference is hard to tell. Rashad is just one person. But I asked him this question at Jubilee House before I left.
Did that change anything for you when you tested it? Did it, like, change your mind at all, or?
No, it didn't. I mean, maybe it allowed me to think of different things. It allowed me to think in different ways, like, should I care about this? Should I care about the fact that I don't care? Should I care more because of this or that? No, me, I'm trying to get as much as I can from this life experience as possible.
For IPR News, I'm Maxwell Howard.
This story was reported as part of the Northern Michigan Journalism Collaborative. That's a project led by Interlochen Public Radio and Bridge Michigan and funded by Press Forward Northern Michigan. On our website, iprnews.org, we have an in-depth report on what is circulating through Michigan, a look at where illegal drugs are coming from, what's in them, and more. Quick check of some other headlines here in Northern Michigan today. Geo Group says its profits rose nearly 700% last year compared to the year before. The company is one of the country's largest private prison operators. It owns Northlake Processing Center in Baldwin, and it won four new contracts to house ICE detainees this year, which it attributes the greater profits to. The papers of an anti-immigration activist who lived most of his life in Petoskey must be released to the public. That's according to Michigan's Court of Appeals. In 2010, John Tanton donated papers to the Bentley Library at U of M under the condition that they be kept secret for 25 years. But the court, in its decision, said that the university can't just contract away the public's rights to access information. That's the Up North Lowdown for Monday, February 16th. This is made at Interlochen Public Radio. I'm Ed Ronco. Thanks for listening.
Support for Interlochen Public Radio is provided by you and by Comfort Keepers. For over 20 years, Comfort Keepers have been providing in-home care services and keeping seniors living independently in the comfort of their own home. Learn more at comfortkeepers.com.